Well, welcome back to the Made for Him podcast. I'm Susie Zor, and we're here with Marie Gureau. Marie grew up in Colorado. She's the wife of one of the teachers here at the Evangelical Institute. She has four children. She homeschools, and she's just a blessing to know. I'm glad that you're here, Marie.
I'm happy to be here.
We had the Made for Him conference in March, and Marie was one of our speakers. And so today we're just going to talk a little bit about what you shared with us. And so I'd like to just jump right in.
Okay.
So what topic did you share on, and why do you think that's important for us to talk about?
Yeah, I shared on anxiety. Mm-hmm. And just specifically, because there's so much that could be covered on anxiety, but specifically how Philippians 4, 6, and 7 instruct us to handle anxiety. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just a really important topic for all times. Mm-hmm. The Bible addresses it. So all the way back there, people were needing it. But we see anxiety increasingly in our society today, I think. Mm-hmm. And people need to hear how to handle it in a godly way, because there are a lot of secular people who are coming out with ways of how to handle anxiety, and it's good to know that the Bible really speaks to this and addresses it very clearly and many times. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's good to hear about it.
Yeah, that the Bible does address it. You're right. So do you think, you said it is something that's in our culture, do you think there's a reason why it's even more rampant kind of today? Do you see certain reasons why that would be?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different changes. Some changes in our culture. It used to be that anxiety was something that people kind of kept quietly if they were if they were struggling with it. It was seen more as a sin, and people just pressed through and didn't even talk about it. So it just wasn't even in the light as much. And these days, people own it a lot. Like, I'm feeling anxious today. I'm stressed. People talking about having panic attacks a lot more, and it's real. I don't want to say it's not real, but it's something that, as we talk about it more, more and more people are, I don't know, as you hear about something, you're more like, hey, am I struggling with that? And it makes people say, yeah, I'm struggling with that too. And it's just
normalized.
Yeah, yeah, much more normalized. So there's kind of the cultural awareness of it, as well as there are real reasons in our society today that are anxiety producing. I'm thinking specifically of like social media. There's just so much out there at our fingertips, ready to bombard us and ready to give us 100 reasons to be anxious. Used to be you might hear maybe one or two pieces of news in a day and you'd have time to process that and think about that. But now we can just scroll through an entire world's worth of worries, anxiety, and it's too much. It's anxiety producing.
Yeah, those things that can make us anxious. You're right. Well, you did share at the beginning kind of about four different categories of anxiousness. Could you, I thought that was really helpful. Can you walk us through some of those?
Sure. And I took that, a lot of people very helpfully tried to arrange anxiety, like to clarify what we're talking about. And I took this right from Joe Carter, who had an article on the Gospel Coalition. So I give credit to him right off. But the first one was not as much a category as him just differentiating it from fear. They're very closely related. But fear, he said, is an emotional response to a real or perceived immediate threat. And anxiety is an emotional response to a real or perceived future threat. So like fear would be that physiological or emotional warning system that alerts us to danger right now, while anxiety is like a warning system of impending danger. And I gave the illustration of fear would be like if you're being confronted by a wild animal, whereas anxiety would be if you're standing next to a creepy wood and you're thinking about the wild animal potentially being there. So it's not really there necessarily, but it's causing anxiety. It might be. So differentiating between fear and anxiety. The second one that he gave was clinical anxiety. And he said that for some people, anxiety manifests as a physiological malfunction that has become both disordering and debilitating. Some symptoms include persistent anxious thoughts. And when the anxiety interferes with daily functioning or when you have anxiety-related symptoms, like shortness of breath, rapid heartbeat. And when I was speaking on this, I just encouraged the girls who were listening that if they had those symptoms to share that with godly people in their life and even consider getting a physical. There are a lot of physical ailments that cause anxiety type symptoms. I've felt that in my life. I've been vitamin D deficient sometimes. A little while ago, I was actually high in magnesium. Both of those times I experienced anxiety, and each time that would happen, I'd be like, am I just not living in a godly way? Am I not handling the fears and anxieties around me in a way that is honoring to God? Because I am feeling so anxious, almost debilitatingly so sometimes, like feeling social anxiety and very rapid heart rate, feeling like I'd run 100 miles when I'm trying to speak to somebody. And each time that those symptoms happened, I would find out that I was actually deficient or overdosed in like magnesium. And once those things were fixed, those would go away. And so there are a lot of, it's good to have our eyes open when we're feeling these anxious thoughts. Yes, take it to the Lord, always take it to the Lord. But also realize that we live in a broken world and we have broken bodies. And so there can be something physical that needs to be addressed.
You're right. The complexities of our bodies. That's a good point.
I got sidetracked. So that was the second, the second category of anxiety. The third type of anxiety that Joe Carter identified is the anxiety you feel when you've sinned. And this wouldn't be like a wondering, oh, have I sinned? I'm feeling anxious. I don't know. This would be a, you know, you've sinned. And so you're anxious, and rightly so. And if so, you need to repent, go and ask forgiveness for what you've done, if that's necessary, and confess it to God, and experience his forgiveness and the peace that comes with that.
Seems like that would actually be the proper response for a Christian, right? Yes. To at least, feel that conviction that, you know, something's not right here.
And then the fourth and final category of anxiety that he gives, and I think this is what our passage is talking about, is the sinful response to God's providential care. This is the anxiety that results because we lack trust in God. And whether it be big, whether it be little, whether it be longstanding or just momentary anxiety, at the root of that is not trusting God's providential care for you. Whether you nestle into that and let that take hold of you, or whether you take that immediately to God, it's just, it's good to recognize that, oh, I'm not trusting God fully in this moment.
That does seem like that's addressed a lot in scripture too. I mean, I think I've heard it somewhere that that command not to fear, not to worry is
so many
probably
times
the most used. He knows our hearts that we're prone to that. And so he does address it though. So that brings up, you pointed us to God's word in it. So you use, is it Philippians 4? Is that the chapter?
Yes.
How does that help us think biblically and how to address this issue and respond to it? How would you use that passage?
So there's so many passages, like you said, that we could go to so many times. The Bible says, do not fear. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 just gives a very clear, what I broke down into, the command, the action and the promise. And Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious in anything. Mm-hmm. That's the command. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests mm-hmm. be made known to God. That's the action. And then the promise, mm-hmm. the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make any qualifications. It just says, do not be anxious in anything. It doesn't say, well, you could be anxious if this happens. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of anxiety-producing things out there, as we've mm-hmm. talked about, but mm-hmm. he just says, don't be anxious about anything. But he doesn't leave us there. And I talked about how Paul is not just an unfeeling person when he says this. Mm-hmm. Just two chapters before in Philippians, he talks about anxiety, about mm-hmm. having felt anxious. And he's been through so much. He has more reasons than I to mm-hmm. be anxious. As he writes this, he's imprisoned. As we can see, he seems to be in pretty decent conditions, but at any point in time, he could be put to death. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. it was the reality of his situation. Mm-hmm. And he was concerned for all those little churches that he had started and that he had discipled, and he had a lot that he could be anxious for. And so he doesn't come at this with a callous, don't be anxious. You know, I've never been anxious, yeah. but I have been anxious. Mm. And that's why I'm telling you, don't be anxious. Mm-hmm. And then he just gives us something very practical and tangible. He says, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And mm-hmm. in that section, we have three synonyms for prayer. He's saying pray. Mm-hmm. Just in case you missed it, pray. Yeah. And that prayer mm-hmm. is talking to God. Mm-hmm. We don't have to complicate it beyond that. We talk mm-hmm. to God, mm-hmm. coming to Him. And mm-hmm. but I love that it also puts in there with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Going back to the pray, talk to God, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Hezekiah when he, mm-hmm. In 2 Kings 19:14, he gets this letter, and it's his enemy saying, I'm going to come and obliterate you. Mm-hmm. And it says that Hezekiah takes that letter. He goes to the temple of the Lord. He lays it out. Mm. I love that physical picture mm-hmm. of him just like spreading it out on the ground.
Here you go.
And just says, God, you know, he starts with worship. Mm. He's like, God, you are our God. Mm-hmm. And then he just lays it out. He's like, this, they say this and this and this, you know, help us. Mm-hmm. We need your help. Mm-hmm. And I see that as just such a perfect picture of what we're supposed to mm-hmm. do. And Paul mm-hmm. slides in there with thanksgiving. And I think that that's so good, because even in mm-hmm. coming before the Lord, we can easily keep our eyes on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're like, hey, God, I've got all this. And we're just throwing out all the problems. Fix it. Mm-hmm. it. But it's important that we turn our eyes to Him in worship mm-hmm. and, giving Him thanks mm-hmm. is so important. Mm-hmm. Recounting His promises.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. You say that the work you've begun in us, you will never, the work that you've begun in us, you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing will snatch us out of your hands. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and just thanking Him, saying those promises and thanking Him for that. Mm-hmm. And just in doing that, takes our eyes off of ourselves mm-hmm. and turns it to our Creator.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, I'm hearing you say, like, where is our focus? Like, is it on the problem itself, the circumstance, the reason we have to be anxious, or is it, Lord, I'm just going to bring it to you. I'm going to look to you, lift my eyes to you. Because who is He? And then who are we? He is the God of the universe. He holds all things in His hands. And yeah, if we want to take it in our own hands, I think that can make us anxious.
Anxious, yes.
We don't have to. He's not asking us to do that. It makes me think of even Jesus and Himself in John 14 when He's with His disciples before He's going to the cross. And He tells them, like, my peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Like, I'm giving you this peace, not as the world can give, but I'm giving it to you. And like, yeah, he's about to enter the cross, yet he is saying, like, my peace. Like, he had a peace that guarded and protected him because he knew he was his father's, and it was all a planned out, thought through thing. And he, anyway, just, he, that's an encouragement to me. Yeah, that kind of talking about God's peace and in that passage, the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds. How do you think that peace is different from the peace that we try to find in the world or in really anything else?
Yeah, good question. Because we were made by God, made in the image of God, we can be satisfied by nothing else. And the peace that God offers us is a supernatural peace for his children. And it's a peace that is lasting, and it satisfies our hearts. And it's this unshakable peace. It's a peace that that the world looks at and says, what is that? Like, that doesn't seem natural, even. And God can give us that peace when we come to him with all of our anxieties. Come to him and ask him for that peace. He says to ask. It's wonderful how he knows all things, and yet he wants his children to come and ask. And as we lay our anxieties before him, he promises to give us that peace. But the world also will try to offer us peace. But all of those, all of the things that the world offers are not lasting, and they are shakable. And it could be possibly successful in a momentary sort of way by being a distraction. But it's always resting on things that are changing and are not lasting, like how I look or how people think of me or whether or not I get what I want. That could make you feel happy for a little while, but those things can change in a moment. But God never changes. And God promises that he will always be there. And
Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction of like a temporary halfway maybe, but the lasting for eternity peace. He is our peace, he says somewhere in his word. So it's encouraging. And then how would you even define peace? And then how do you think it is commonly understood? I think of peace, you know, being primarily feeling like a feeling, like I feel peaceful. But I don't know, how would you
That's a good question.
Thinking about that.
Peace is, there is a feeling of rest and calm in our souls that comes with peace, but it's more than a feeling, I would say, more of even an assurance that God is holding us, that his promises are true, that he will see us through, and that everything wrong will be made right. As Sam says in Tolkien, you know, everything, what does he say? Will everything bad come untrue? Something like that.
Yeah.
I should look that up, but I love it when he says that. But just the assurance that God is going to bring all things right, make all things right, make all things whole. And, the world's peace wants to promise us the things we want right now. But God's peace promises us all things right for the rest of eternity. And maybe not right here. He never promises us the job we want or the health we want. But he does promise that he will never leave us or forsake us.
Yes.
And that does give a feeling. But I would also caution against the feeling, because this isn't a magic formula. We can try to treat the Bible as a magic formula. Okay, you said, if I lay out my anxieties to you and give you thanks, okay, check off the list, you will give me peace. And that's not the way the Lord works. I know that personally, a lot of times I've come to him with anxieties, and I'm laying them before him, and even in tears, just saying, God, to use the common phrase these days, I don't want to do life today. This is overwhelming. Yeah. I can't handle this. And you're going to need to give me peace. And by the way, I'm running out of time. I need it now because my kids are about to get up and I'm going to have to face this day. And oh, time's up. I have to stand up, take that first step into the day, and feeling like God hasn't met me yet sometimes. And as I go through the day, I can look back and say, you have met me. You have held me. I didn't feel that peace right now, but be able to see how he has given me peace and how he has met me and praise him for that.
Yeah, that's really good with Thanksgiving.
I'd say for some people, it's more of a battle than others. For some people, it can be I cast that care on the Lord and he took care of it, and praise the Lord. And that's wonderful when that happens. But for other people, it has to be like a constant casting. It's a battle. And that's why the Christian life is often explained as a battle. And it's true. I've experienced both. Wow. God just took that anxiety. I asked him to. I didn't even expect that he would do it. And he did. That was wonderful. But then other times where you just have to keep taking it back to him,
Moment by moment. Amazed at myself how quickly I can give something to the Lord and then walk away, and then I'm thinking about it again and I have to do it the next minute again, like, Lord, I give this to you, Lord, I give this to you, I give this to you, Lord. I'm like Hezekiah, I'm laying this before you, Lord.
I
100 times a day sometimes if you need to, but that's, he sustains us, and that's wonderful. Is there an example either of a person you know, or you mentioned Darlene Debler Rose in your talk, but someone that exemplifies this life of peace and knowing God's peace?
Wow. I could point to so many heroes of the faith. I love reading missionary biographies and seeing how God has met them. I especially like the autobiographies, because they're less likely to glamorize themselves. Other people will write things and be like, they were wonderful. And you read them like, oh my goodness, I could never. But you read the ones that they've written of themselves, and usually they're quite honest about where they've failed. When I was speaking, I used Darlene Dibbler Rose in her book, Evidence Not Seen, which is an autobiography. I love her as an example, because it really was like over and over and over again having to come to God with fear, anxiety, and in very serious and pressing circumstances, and seeing how God met her in such an incredible way. And as I mentioned, the book ends as she comes back to the United States. But what's incredible is she marries a man and they return to New Guinea as missionaries for another 30 years. And for her to be able to return to a place that she experienced such extreme loss, grief, trauma, torture, and I'm not using those words lightly, to joyfully and willingly serve her Savior, that speaks of a peace that passes all understanding that only God could give. And I love that. It's just such a great example of just demonstrating that peace is real. And it is supernatural. It's not something somebody could drum up.
That's amazing. What is the name of that book again?
Evidence Not Seen.
Evidence Not Seen. Just in reading it. Well, thank you. Kind of our closing question, what would be at this point, kind of, someone's been listening and reading this passage, what would be kind of the main thing you would say would be like the takeaway from this?
Main thing, take your anxieties to God. Take them to God and praise him as you are taking those anxieties to God. Give him thanks. Thank him for everything he's promised you, and hold to those in faith, and Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Focus on who he is.
Yeah. Focus on who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And continue and just remember that it is a battle. Mm-hmm. And don't feel alone in that battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, more people than will admit it, mm-hmm. Struggle with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows. God knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that we are weak. One of my favorite verses is that he remembers that we are dust.
Yeah.
Mm. And he is so ready and willing. He's more ready and willing to meet our needs than we are to bring him our needs.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Well, thank you, Marie. This has been encouraging. And thank you for walking us through that. And yeah, praise the Lord for how he's met.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, as we close, thank you for listening. You can always listen to any previous episodes, as well as a lot of other things on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And then if you're interested, please follow us across our socials at Evangelical Institute, including on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And then, thank you for being here, and God bless you, and see you next time.